Well, this morning we're starting a new series, and we're just going to be talking about building a life in Christ, and building a life that has a sure foundation, that no matter when the storms of life and the storms of this world change, that we're able to stand firm, because God is really clear that He didn't come in this world to give us a foundation that kind of wavers and goes one way one day and moves the next day. It's a foundation that He wants to establish that is truly firm, and it stands the test of time. In fact, He wants to establish a foundation that goes all the way through eternity, He tells us. So this morning, as we talk about foundations and we talk about what God wants to do, is I want to use the house as a metaphor. So as we go through this series, we're going to probably do some little creative things where we're going to build like a small little house here, so you can kind of get your mind around what God is trying to do in us. Because I love what Scripture says about God, that He's a builder, and He's a master builder, and He's doing something. He's building something in you that is supposed to be strong. He's got a plan for your life. He has a vision for your life. He has a purpose for your life, He tells us. And sometimes, you know, we're looking for all these things that God is doing, but God says, my plan and my purpose for you is really simple. I want to build you into something. And this morning we will look at that something. God says, I want to make you into the man and the woman that I've always dreamed that you would be. That when your life gets difficult, you bring glory to me. When things are going good, you bring glory to me all the time. And as we see this in throughout Scripture, as God is this master builder. And He doesn't just kind of randomly have a plan for your life. It's a very specific plan for your life. This plan is been designed specifically for you, and God wants to accomplish something with every moment in your life. It's not just the highs, not just the good moments where you're shouting and jumping for joy and are excited and have great joy. It's the times of great sorrow. It's the time when there's great pain. It's all such circumstances and all situations God is using, and He's building, and He's making you into the person that he wants you to do. So this morning, as we kind of start, is we start with a plan. You have to have a plan for building a foundation. You can't just kind of randomly throw a house together. It doesn't happen. If you decide you're just going to build something with no plan in mind, you're going to end up with something that looks kind of awkward, kind of strange, and doesn't really fit the surroundings. You have to actually take a moment and actually analyze and figure out, what do you want? If you've ever participated in the building process before, or you've had a home built for you, you will know that this building process is very difficult. It's a journey. There's things that you don't expect. There's always a surprise around the corner. And God is saying, I'm not surprised by anything in your life. I'm building, and I'm using every moment to make you into this incredible thing that I want you to become. And He says, my plan is not this a random plan. I didn't search out and try to figure out what I wanted to build. I already had in mind what I wanted to build even before you existed. You know, when we go to build a home, we take time and we sit down and we formulate a plan. We might get online or get a magazine and kind of go through it and go, you know, I like this floor plan. I like this style of home. I like a Craftsman. I really like a Colonial. I like a ranch. I like a two-story. And then you take the time to research and dig into what you want to build. And you might sit down with an architect or a builder, and you start to lay the plans. But God is saying, I didn't take a magazine. I didn't go online and find a plan of you. I have a plan. And it's a good plan. The author of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4. It says, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Verse 5 says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are His house, if we hold to our courage and hope of which we boast. And in other words, just simply, God is building things. And He's the master builder that gets all the glory through this process. Whether it's in the highs or the lows, He says, I'm working to show my glory to the world around you, and I want to use you in the process. But as I'm doing this, I also want you to be built into something. And if you have your Bibles and you want to open them up to Jeremiah, we're going to head eventually to Jeremiah chapter 29, and then we're going to head to Romans chapter 8, so you can put your fingers in there. But when God says that he's building something, he does have a plan. And if you don't have a plan when you're building something, like I said before, it's going to turn out kind of crazy. You've probably went north a little bit or south a little bit, and we get into what we might call redneck areas. You ever hear of redneck areas? You know what those are like? You kind of get down into some areas, and all of a sudden you start looking at some of the homes, and you're like going, how did they put the chicken coop on with the house? Or you start looking at the roof lines, and they're all kind of crazy looking, and you're kind of going, that's just weird. I know when we drive up north all the time, when we drive up north to the UP, there's this specific house that we pass. It's like a two-story home, and it looks like a nice home. On the outside, it kind of appeared that way at one time. It was probably built maybe in the 1900s, just kind of looking at the styles of it. But they did something very unique. They smashed a trailer with it. It's like somebody said, I'm going to build something. And they're going to build something. And they had no plan. One day they woke up in the morning, they looked out back, and they saw that they had an RV. They had some power tools, and he comes into the room and says, honey, let's build something today. And then they cut and rip apart the side of the house, and they rip the side of the trailer forward and smash it together so you have this house with a trailer sticking out. You ever see it? It might be an up north thing, I don't know, but it's kind of unique, I think. But it looks really weird. It looks really awkward. And the thing is when you're trying to build your life in Christ, you have to start with a plan. And you have to start with the one who has the plan for you. Otherwise, you're going to say, you know what, I can build me. I can build a foundation for myself. And then you're going to start building it, trying to build a foundation. And it might not be on who Jesus Christ really is. And you start building on that because you don't have a plan. All of a sudden, you get a little bit awkward. All of a sudden, your roof lines don't match up. All of a sudden, things in culture start coming along, and all of a sudden, we start to believe what culture believes, not what the Bible believes. For some of you, you've heard the message about having a sure foundation, and you know, for you, this will be a checkup. The biggest thing is, you know, in our culture right now, Christians are rapidly turning away from the truth of God. They are abandoning the foundations of the things in the Bible that we stand true on. We're looking at culture, and we're letting culture define us instead of letting God's word define us. It's time to do a foundation check. Because the problem is if you allow things in this world to get into your foundation, eventually you're going to have a weak foundation. And here's what we know when you have a weak foundation. Over time, the storms will come. And as the storms come, you'll have freezing, you'll have thawings, and it will work into your foundation, and slowly you get a crack. And slowly those things work their way in, and next thing you know, everything just starts to crumble. And then all of a sudden you start saying, did God really say this? Is God really who he says he is? Is this really truth? There's a danger when we don't evaluate our foundation. There's a danger if you don't have a foundation. You know, maybe you're coming into your relationship with Christ right now, and you're just trying to figure him out a little bit. Well, you need to start at a starting point with a plan. And it starts with having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just a friendship, not just saying a prayer, but it's saying, I surrender my life to you as my Lord and my master builder. And I want you to craft me. I want you to make me into what you want. Because God says, I got a plan. I got a plan for you, and it's a good plan, and I want to make you into something. I don't want you to look awkward like that trailer shoved into the house. And when a storm comes, I don't want you to crumble. When the culture keeps on changing, I don't want you to keep on changing because this is who I am and I don't change. I don't change my mind. I don't change what I believe. I don't change what I put out there. And I don't want you to change either because your foundation has to be sure. If you open up to Jeremiah 29, it's a familiar verse. Especially this time of year, you hear graduates getting messages from this verse quite often, probably taken out of context in my opinion. But you know, it's a great and powerful verse. We have to start with this understanding. This verse, God is saying to the Israelite people. The Israelite people are going through a time that it's very difficult. It's overwhelming for them. They're going to go into captivity. And God is reassuring them, saying, you know what, I know you don't understand what I'm doing. I know that it's going to get very difficult at times in life, and there's really good points in life where you have the high points. I know you're going to have all these different times. But I have a plan for every one of those times. I have a plan for when your relationships are struggling. I have a plan for when your job is struggling. I have a plan when there's global economy shut down. I have a plan when you're financially struggling. I have a plan. And he's telling these people that he has a plan for them. And it's a good plan, and it's a plan that tells them. He says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." I love that because it tells us something. God has a plan. He doesn't just randomly whip out and shoot from the hip and go, I want Angie to look like this. I want Kelly to look like this. I want Tom to look like this. He has a blueprint of you. And he says, here's where you came into the world, and this is where you're going to go out of the world. But in that process, I want to make you into something. Something that is beyond your wildest dreams. Something that I only can do. And here's the problem. It's comforting to know that God has a plan, but we're in America, right? We want the plan, right? We would rather have that read, I know the plans that I have for me, and I'm in control of it. Problem is God says, I have the plan, and you need me. Because without me, the plan's not going to happen. The plans really don't matter. It's the element in this is that God is the builder, and he's the one that's doing it, and we need him. And the thing is, God is smart. He knows if you and I have the plan, and you and I know what the plan is, we're just going to do it on our own. And he knows that we mess up the plan, right? He knows that we get in the way. We start meddling, and we think, oh, we got it. Or he even knows more about our heart is that when we would know God's plan, he knows this. He knows that we wouldn't want him anymore, that we wouldn't need him anymore. So why doesn't God always show you the plan? Because he's in charge of the plan. He's the master builder that's doing it. And he says, I need you to depend on me. I need you to trust me in spite of what you're seeing. And then he goes on. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. And then he goes on in the next section. And he says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and to give you a future. Now, this is quite often interpreted that God's going to prosper you. He's going to give you money. He's going to give you big houses. He's going to give you cars. He's going to give you nice boats so you can go waterboarding. I guess not wakeboarding, not waterboarding. Whoopsie. Showed you how much I do that. So prosper, you know, we always think of it like that. That's not what God's saying. He's saying, I have a plan to build you. I have a plan to grow you, is what he's saying. Not to give you all these things, but to change you into the man or the woman that he's always dreamed that you would always be. And he's going to use whatever circumstance to do this. And then he says, I plans to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and to give you a future. Now, you might be saying, well, Kelly, right now, when I'm looking at my life and the circumstances that I am going through, right now, it is so dark, it is so overwhelming, God has forgotten me. God is not with me. His plans aren't good for me. Well, the scripture says really clearly that God's plans are not to harm you. Yeah, you may be going through a very difficult time right now. You may be so overwhelmed and you can't see how to get out of it. But God says, I've never planned to harm you. But I want to use that circumstance, that situation in your life to change you, to grow you, to build you, and to produce a foundation in you that is so strong it will weather the storms of this life. God says, I'm working. I'm doing things. Trust me. I know you can't see it, but just trust me, he says. And even here he tells them, he says, I don't want to harm you. I want to show you what I'm like. I want to give you hope. I want you to know that there is a future with me, he says. And then he goes on and he says, Then you will call upon me. And I think that's God's goal. He's going to take whatever situation, and he wants to use it so that way you will call upon him. That you'll get to a point where you say, I need you. You're in charge, God. You are the Lord of my life, not me. He wants to get us to that point where we surrender so that his plans can be done. And when we surrender, look at what it says next. He says, when you surrender, you will call upon me, you will come to me, and then you will pray to me, and I will listen. So it's when we surrender to God's plan, we surrender to whatever he's doing, and we might not understand it, we don't fully comprehend it, but we say, I trust you, God. I'm falling under your will. I'm falling under you as the master builder, and I'm trusting you to do whatever you want to do in my life, so that way you can make me into the person that you want me to do, because he's building. And he's building something in every one of us. And then it goes on in verse 13. And then once we surrender ourselves, this will be our heart. And once we get to the point where we say that God is still good, God is still there. He says, you will seek me and you will find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I just love how God says that. He says, if you seek him with all of your heart, in the high times of life, the low times of life, the in-between times of life, you're seeking him with all of your heart, you're going to find him. You're going to find out what he's doing. You're going to find out that he still is in control. You're going to find out that he still is good, and he still has your best in mind all the time. Because that's who God is. And he says, I want to prosper you. I want to grow you. I want to grow you into the person that trusts me and makes me the Lord of your life. Where there's nothing in this world where your focus is on those things, but your focus is all on me. And in the middle of those dark times, I'm going to give you the strength to look heavenward and find me. And when you find me, you can trust me. When you see me, you'll know that I got a good plan. Now, if you want to jump to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, they kind of go hand in hand. It's almost given us another picture that God is in control. God has got the plan. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got something going on. And he's building something. He's crafting something. Now, in the book of Romans, this is Paul that wrote this. And there's a lot of deep theology in this. So right now, we need God to open up our minds as big as God is. Because we can get intimidated by these scriptures. And we get a little bit overwhelmed because of some of the words in them. But we should not be overwhelmed by them. We should be comforted by these words. It starts out in chapter 8, verse 28. And I like how Paul starts out and he goes, and we know. In other words, this is what we're confident in. This is what we're placed in our trust in. And we know this without a shadow of a doubt. In the being of me, I know that this is who God is. I mean, his word says this is who he is. His word says this is what he's doing. And I trust him. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In other words, there's a plan. There's a purpose. God is doing something. And I love that. It just says, and we know that in all things, God works. God is working. God is doing something. He is building and making you into the man or the woman that he wants you to become. He has always taken every circumstance, the highs, the lows, the relationship struggles. He's always working to make you into something. Now, let's be honest. We've heard these verses before, and quite often they're at a low time in your life, aren't they? Quite often people will take a verse like this, and when there's a lot of tragedy around you, and they'll kind of throw it out there at you. And let's be honest. Sometimes that gets really, really, really old. And it's actually kind of hurtful when you're in those moments, right? But let me just back up for a second and ask you just something as I read this. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Let me just ask you the question, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God is working in every circumstance in your life, whether it's at your work, whether it's at school, whether it's in college, whether it's at your job, whether it's in your marriage? Do you really believe that God is really working and he has the good in mind? And he doesn't want to harm you. He wants to prosper you. He's not trying to cause pain in your life. Well, Kelly, I have a lot of pain in my life right now. You know, quite often God uses pain. He uses pain to grow us. Quite often it's not until we feel pain and experience those hardships that we can get to the point where we're surrendered and we can just bask in his plan. And he knows that. He knows that sometimes we have to go through some terrible things to get to the point where we say, I believe that you are my Lord. I believe that in the truth that you're working. I believe that you have my best in mind all the time. And you're working for the good in me. Do you believe that? Because to have a firm foundation, that's one of the things that you have to start with. That God is good. God is always working on your behalf, even when you can't see it. He has a plan, He has a purpose, and He's making you into something that He wants to be. And in a little bit later in this verse, He's going to tell us what He wants you and I to become. And what He's been working at since you came into a relationship with Him, He has been working at this in your life. He's been building this into you. And it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. In all things. I love that. All things. There's not one thing in your life that He's not using. There's not one thing that has happened to you in the history of your life that God hasn't been using. God can use sickness. God can use health. God can use times where you're in financial difficulties. He can use times of prosperity. He can use you at whatever job you're doing. He can use you in whatever circumstance you find. He's doing good things, and He's working in all of those things. And that's reassuring, I think, to know that God is doing something. Do I understand it all the time? Absolutely not. But I trust this. I believe this. The core of my foundation is that God is good all the time. And He is working for my good all the time. Because He says He is. He said it from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I'm building. I'm building you. And then it goes on. He said He's working in all things for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And that kind of scares people that we've been called. Well, you mean you're saying that God has invited me into a relationship? Yes. God called you into a relationship. How did you come to know who Jesus Christ was? How did you come about to know the saving grace of who He is? Because you're smart? Because you figured out something that somebody else didn't figure out? No. God called you. God invited you to come into a relationship with Him. He chose you before you chose Him. He chose you before the foundations of the earth were even laid. He chose to reveal who Jesus is. God reveals Himself to every person. Why does He reveal Himself to you? I don't know. And not the person over here? I don't know. Only God knows that. But I'm confident of this, that God calls, God reveals, God is in control, He has a plan. I'm confident of that. I can't explain to you why you know who Jesus Christ is and the person down the street doesn't. Because God saw something, because God said, I want you. He wants everybody, but He knew that you would respond. It's a call. And He knows that we have to respond, because we also have free will. We have to respond to Him. And you responded to Him. But it all started out with a call, and a call to accept the grace of God. And then it goes on in verse 29, and this is another one of those words that we don't like. For those God foreknew. So God called people, and foreknew simply means that He knew you before. Before you were you, He was here. He already knew you. He already knew that you were going to come to Him. He already had the plan. It has always existed. He's always known that you would come to Him. He foreknew you, He called you and accepted you before you accepted Him. He knew all those things were going to happen because He's sovereign. We have to accept that. We have to accept that God reveals to people who He is. We have to accept that we're called. We have to accept that we're chosen. Those are great things. But we have to be careful because we can kind of become the frozen chosen. We can kind of get into this mode where we think we're something special because God chose me and God revealed His Son to me. You're special, yes, because God did reveal you, but it's not because of anything that you did. There's nothing special in any of us. Every one of us, if we're honest, there's the ability to be evil. There's the ability to sin. We sin every day. There's nothing good in us except for God. But God says, I chose you because I knew who you were before. And then He goes on, and then He said He also predestined. Now that's a word that we love, don't we? I mean, that's like, ooh, predestined us. I mean, let's not get too hung up on the word predestined. Just simply saying that God is in control. God had from the beginning of time to the end of time, and He knows everything that's going to happen. And He's working out all these plans. And it's not a random plan. It's a very specific plan. Predestined, we can also kind of step back and go, well, since God chose me, I can just live my life however I want. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, because I'm predestined to have a relationship with him and be in his kingdom. We've got to be careful with that. We have to make sure that we are surrendering our lives and we are walking in his plan. And that these words of chosen, foreknew, and predestined, it should humble us. When you hear that word predestined, you should go, wow, God chose me? And he predetermined this? It's not arrogance, but humility should come about. Because why would he choose you over somebody else? Because he's God. And he has a plan, and he's carrying it out. And he's building things. He predestined us to be conformed into the likeness of his Son. This is what God is building in you. God is predestined for those people who have accepted Jesus Christ to be conformed into the likeness of the Son, of his Son. God, the journey of you and all the struggles and all the good times and everything that has happened in your life is a journey that you have been taken, and God has been building, he has been working in the background, in the foreground. He has been working to build you into something, build you into the likeness of his Son. That is his ultimate goal for every one of us, that you and I would become the likeness of Christ. That you and I would stand in this world and we would be a light to this world and we'd be an oak of righteousness, and people would look at us and go, they know God. They are living for God because of what they are grounded in, how they are treating people, how they are loving one another, how they're living their life. He says, I want to make you into the image of my Son. And God's working all that out because he's got the plan. As soon as you accept it, he's going, here we go. And every little circumstance, every little situation that's came has been planned by God. And he uses, because he's working in every one of those situations, to make you into the image of his Son. And then it says that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. You and I should get a little excited right now. I mean, did you hear what he said? He said, if you've been called, it means if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been called. And if you have been called, you have been justified. You've been made right with God because of Christ. And he says, and also you have been glorified. I mean, that means that you are becoming the image of his Son. You're becoming exactly like Christ. And it does tell us in Scripture, there's one day in a twinkling of an eye, you and I will become the likeness of his Son. One day this earthly tent will be shut away, and we will have no more a tent that is temporal, but you'll have an immortal body, and it'll be in the likeness of the glory of his Son. That is what God is doing. That is what God is building in you right now. And he's building, he's working, and he's carrying that plan completely out. How do I know that he's doing this? How do I know that life circumstances don't get God distracted? How do I know that the global economy doesn't get God distracted? How do I know that culture doesn't distract God from doing what he's going to do? He's going to do this in you, and there's nothing going to stop him. This is how I know. It says, what then shall we say? And this is verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? In other words, God is working out the plan. And nobody can step in and stop that plan. No circumstance can come along that's going to stop that plan. That God is working in you, building in you, and making you into the image of God. Nothing is going to stop it. Ever. A broken relationship will not stop it. A loss of a job will not stop it. A death will not stop it. A sickness will not stop what God is doing, because he says, I am doing this. I've got a plan, and I'm carrying it out. I'm making you into the image of my Son. Why is he doing that? He wants you to be a representative of him in this world. So people see the house of you, they see the glory of God. And then people will go, I want something like they have. Because they're different. Because they have the glory of God in them. So God says, I'm going to do this. And then he goes on in verse 32. And he says, this is how I know that he's going to carry it out. I know that he's going to go to great lengths. It says, who did not spare his own Son, but gave up for us all, he will not, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? In other words, God's got a plan. God's doing it. He's carrying it out. And it's your best in mind. And he's working, and he's always working in all things for your good. Those are some foundational things that we have to have. We have to have those in our life. And God is the one that's doing it, though. But you have to come to the point where you say, I want this. I want to surrender to God's plan. I want him to craft me. I want him to mold me and make me into the image of Christ, his son. And God does it. And he does it powerfully. But it starts with this. It starts with a firm foundation. Everybody, if you built a house, you know that you have to have a foundation that is built on firm ground. When I did inspections, I would go out and inspect these homes and look for structural problems on them. And one of the, I think, second houses that I looked at was over in Ada. And this house was a massive house, probably $500,000 plus house. And as I started looking in the house, you started seeing these weird things. I drove up to it. The ridge kind of had this weird little dip. And this is only about a five-year-old home. And I'm like, oh, that's odd. And then, but yeah, in my mind, I'm going, it's only 5 years old. That's kind of strange. And then we get in the house, and there's some weird humps in the floors. And then you go to open up a slider, and you try to open the slider, and it's really hard, and kind of going, this is not right. And then I walk downstairs, and then there's this gap in the foundation, and you can see it. And so I wrote up a report saying there's a foundation problem. The foundation is moving. And of course, the realtors had a builder another person that said that there is nothing wrong with the foundation. You're just trying to kill our deal. You're just a deal killer is what they kind of would label you as. And the people bought the house. And I got a call about a year and a half later. They said, we have a problem. I'm like, so of course I'm panicking, going, oh, what did I miss, you know? And so I go through my report, read my report, and I said, no, I told you that was happening. And they said, well, they convinced us that it wasn't. And they said that the house was actually starting to pull apart even more from when I was there. And so they had me back out just to kind of get some opinions. And, of course, they were doing some legal things. And I said, I don't want no part of that. I'll give you my opinion, but don't call me to court because I don't want to go there. And then so I said, you need to get this architect. And they got this architect and they got an engineer out there. And they started doing soil borings. And this is what they found. They found that on the one half of the house, that there's a good foundation, that there's a good substructure with the foundation sat on. But because the house was built into a side of the hill, they didn't take the time to get rid of some of the grass that was already there. They just kind of actually plopped the foundation on the top of it. And over the years, what happened is the grass started to decay and rot. So half of the house started to slide down the hill, is what was happening. And see, the thing is with our lives, and the foundation that we need to establish, we have to make sure that we are on bedrock. We have to make sure that Jesus Christ is truly the foundation of what we're growing at, our foundation and building it on. I know that's easier said than done. And we say, well, of course I believe in Jesus Christ. Have you surrendered to him completely? Are you living for him 100% of the time? Are you saying that you can craft me, you can mold me into any of these things, and your word is truth? Are you saying that, or are you starting to say this? Well, our culture says, this pastor said, no, it has to be the foundation of Jesus Christ and the word of God, what God teaches. Otherwise, your foundation will slowly be ripped, it'll slowly be pulled away, and it will slide away, and the house of you will collapse and crumble. God says it's worth taking the time to make sure that you have a solid foundation underneath you. And there's just three words, and they're really exciting words that I just want you to remember as we prepare to go into the next group of messages out of this. Is first of all, to get a sure foundation, what you have to do is you have to start to grade. I know it's a really exciting term, grade. What is grading? Do I give it an A or a B? Grading is when all of a sudden you have a big truck pull up and then they have these big machinery on it and they back out and you hear it going beep, 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 and they come in and they start to move the earth around. Grading is a very painful process. That's moving soil from one point to the other point. It's filling in some of the low places and it's taking out some of the high places. It's preparing for the foundation to be laid. If you don't take the grade and you don't take time, the lot that you put the house on, it might not work with the house. The house might look kind of awkward, or the house might not set on a sure, solid subsoils. And then with the grading, after the grading's done, that's a lot of work that we have to let God do. I mean, John the Baptist said that here comes Jesus, and this is my paraphrase, and all the high places need to be taken down, and all the low places, and all the crooked paths, and all the bumpy paths, all those things have to be straightened out. That's what grading is. And then Jesus can come in. And Jesus can kind of start to work in us. We're laying that foundation, and it's a strong one, and it's on Him. And then after you get the grading done, you got to dig. So you start to dig, and that's when that big crane comes in, and they start to dig down. They dig a big old hole. It's kind of ugly. There's usually mounds of dirt all over the place. It's a messy thing to happen. They got to dig down though. If they stop, they don't get into a good subsoil, like maybe bedrock or some type of a soil that can actually hold the house up. But they go down and they dig and they painfully dig, and then after they do all the digging around, then you're ready to pour the foundation. And it's a lot of work. And the foundation is not very pretty. And it's not pretty for us because it's a lot of work to establish the foundation. You know, I haven't heard anybody, when they built a new house, have you over and go, you know, I'm going to have to show you my home. And over here is the master bedroom. Over here, look at the granite counter that I got on the island in the kitchen. I mean, I've always wanted a kitchen like this. Oh, the bathroom. You got to check this out. The bathroom, you have two shower heads in it. You can fit two people in it. Plus, there's a big tub over here. Oh, there's four bedrooms here. Oh, man, you should check out the man cave. You hear people doing that, but you never hear them do this. Well, let's go check the foundation out. Because the foundation isn't very glamorous. It's not very sexy, is it? But without that solid foundation, without doing the hard work, digging down and applying it into your life, you'll never have a foundation that will support the house of you and will stand the storms of life. It won't happen. It won't stand the test of time. Don't rush ahead of God's plans either. God's plans have to be carried out. If you take over the plan, you start building your house, and what's going to happen is all of a sudden the foundation wasn't prepared. And it's going to collapse. Or it's going to be something that God's never intended. So as we enter into the series, I just want to close with this verse. It's a familiar verse. And it's out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." And the rock is Jesus Christ. And it says, the rain came down, and after you build a house, a storm's going to come. You're going to have rain. There's going to be flood, it says. The streams rose, the winds blew, and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. God says, I'm building something. I'm building you into the image of my Son. I'm always working in your life. But you got to come to the point where you accept my Son as your Savior and your Lord. You got to come to the point where you're seeking me out above anything else in this world. And you're searching after me with all your heart, your mind, your soul. With every fiber that you have, that you're putting your whole being into me. You do that, you're going to find me, and you're going to have a foundation. And then he says, then after that, I just want you to surrender. I want you to surrender in every circumstance and know that I am working for your good, and trust me. Because I am a God that has a plan and that is in control and knows what I'm trying to do with you. And it's reaching out in those moments and going, I trust. So join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just look at these scriptures, and we know that you're building things. We know that you know who we are. We know that you know what we need. I would ask, Lord, that you would let us be people that are truly people that are surrendered to you, allowing you to work out whatever you are doing, because we know that you are good. We know that you can be trusted. even when the storms keep coming up against us, we know that you're in control. God, I would ask that you would truly make us into people that are built into the image of Christ, that we can go out into this world and we can reflect your glory, and we can show people what a great and glorious God you are in spite of life circumstances. Make us into people that are truly oaks of righteousness, who withstand the struggles of this life and the storms of this life, so that people will see you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.